Starting a new series called Marked, Called by the Savior. Marked, Called by the Savior. Did you recognize that when Jesus saved you, he actually marked you? The Bible calls us his own possession. See, cowboys understand this better than anybody. Because when cowboys have cattle, they put a brand on it. And the brand identifies the cattle as the possession of that particular cowboy that owns that brand. Can somebody say amen? So we're going to call today's lesson Called From That, Called To This. Called from that, called to this. The one thing everybody has, everybody in this room, everybody in America, we all have a that. Everybody likes to say, well, everybody got a past. And it's interesting, even the most gossiping person in the world doesn't want anybody in their past. Have you ever noticed that? The people who talk the most don't want anybody in their past. Now let me pause for a moment because I really need to define what I mean by called. I told you that we got some folks that they define called as when somebody picked up the phone and called them and said, we want you to serve as the pastor of this or that church. They said they were called. I'm just telling you what they told me. I was totally blown back by it, too. I was like, oh, that's what it means to be called. I ain't never been called like that. But we're talking about the call of the Lord. The call of the Most High, where he invades your space, invades your plans, and says, I've got something for you to do. Here's the interesting thing. He usually calls you to do something that you don't have the ability to do. Because, see, if you have the ability to do it, you'll be wanting to do it without him. So he never calls you to do something that you're going to be really good at on your own. Are you hearing me? If you're doing something and you can do it without God, that's all the proof I need. God didn't call you to it. And there are some things, there's one particular thing that all of us have been called from. And what I find interesting, and I'll define it for you here in a moment, but what I find interesting is how many people want to identify with what they've been called from. Oh, all throughout the church, all throughout America, all throughout the world, people are confessing Jesus out of one side of their mouth and identifying with the thing that they've been called from out of the other side of their mouth. I'll prove it to you. Who's ever heard this? Well, we're all just sinners. Who's ever heard that one? Anybody heard that one? We're all just sinners. They didn't got so bad, Barb. They don't even say, they used to say, we're all sinners saved by grace. They don't even say the saved by grace anymore. We're all just sinners. Yeah, hard stop, period, end of it. And so there's this identity with what I've been called out of. And I'm telling you, it's not pleasing to the Father. Our principal text, Matthew 4, 18 through 22. Let's look at it real quick. Now, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Next. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Anybody see a trend here? There is a universal call that God has made for what seems like an eternity now. John 3:16 says it this way, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So there is this call that has gone out by Jesus saying, "Come and follow me. All are welcome. It doesn't matter what you did before you met me. It doesn't matter who you were before you met me. It doesn't matter how ornery you were before you met me. It doesn't matter what people thought about you before you met me. It doesn't matter what they said about you before you met me." He says, "Come to me and I will give you life." What he's literally saying is, "I am going to make your life count. I am going to give your life purpose. I am going to give your life focus." Universal call. But what we don't always understand is that it is a call from something, and it's a call to something. Are you hearing me? One call, it's a call from something, but it's also a call to something. Now, you'd be surprised how many people talk to me about their call. Listen, y'all. I've been doing this since I was 15 years old. I knew that God had called me to be a prophet by the time I was 13 years old. I have never introduced myself to anybody as Prophet Everett Spencer. My mama didn't name me prophet. That ain't my birth certificate. Are you hearing me? And so I run into people all the time, and they want to talk about their call. And, well, you know, I'm called to this, and I'm called to that, and I'm called to this. But see, I know how to examine it, because I know what it means to be called. Are you hearing me? The first thing that's going to happen when you receive the call, very first thing, point number one, God's initial call is always a call to leave. You got to leave something. In our principal text, we saw that Jesus said to Simon and his brother, he said, Andrew's brother, he said, "Come and follow me." They had to leave their nets. They had to leave their fishing business. They had to leave the thing that they were relying on to feed their families. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. Y'all ain't hearing me. And so, verse 20, immediately they left their nets. How many times has God called us, but we didn't do it immediately? "Well, Lord, I'll do it as soon as I get this together. I'll do it as soon as I get that together." And before you know it, 40 years have gone by because you can't get it together. Y'all ain't hearing me. Now, what you have to understand, Morgan, about these guys is that when Jesus called them, especially Simon and Andrew, he called them, guess what he did? They donated their boat to the ministry. All these places where you hear Jesus getting in the boat, that was that boat. This is why when the people went away and Jesus said, "Will you go too?" Simon Peter said, "To whom shall we go?" Now he got real spiritual. "For you alone have the words of eternal life." But what he was really concerned about was, "You got all our stuff. How are we going to go somewhere? You've got all our stuff. We have no way of making a living. Are you hearing me? And then the second time, I think it's verse 22, the sons of Zebedee, they not only have to leave the business, but they have to leave their father. And what God is making clear is that when I call you to something, there is nothing that is more precious to you than the call that I put on you. It doesn't matter who's not going with you. It doesn't matter who walks away from you. You have to be so into what I've called you to do. You have to be so into fulfilling my desire for your life. You have to be so into the plan that I've given you that you literally say, I play to an audience of one. It doesn't matter who's not with me. I've got to do what God has called me to do. It's like a burning fire in my heart. Or else, not only will people doubt the call, you're going to doubt the call. See, we like to focus on free stuff. Well, you know, salvation's free. No, it's not. No, it's not. Salvation's a gift. Anybody ever given somebody a gift? Did it cost you something to get that gift? Okay, salvation is a gift. So everybody, well, you know, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Hey, and I'm enjoying the trip. Got my ticket. Hopefully you got yours. I'm in first class because I'm sure enough saved. Not understanding that God didn't save you just for you to walk around here talking about you're saved. God didn't save you just so you can go to heaven. God saved you so that you can change things here in the earth. All right. Where am I? What am I doing? I sound like Joe Biden right now, don't I? I can be president too because I forget where I'm at too. Genesis 12, watch this, talking about God calling you to leave. Genesis 12, verse number 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. Pause right there. He said, you're going to have to get up. You're going to have to leave your country. That's your comfort zone. He said, then you're going to have to leave your relatives, all your support, and your father's house, your provision. He said, and go to a land that I will show you. The Everett Spencer translation. Start walking. I'll let you know when you get there. See, this is how God calls. He calls by saying, just start. I'll let you know when you get there. Arabu Shaha. See, everybody want to have, they got to have plan A, plan B, step one, step two, step three. We got 12 steps for this to be successful in ministry and 12 steps for that. Guess what? God's call don't come with no steps. It comes with a contract that says, I'll do whatever you say. Where he leads, I will follow. Verse 2, watch this. He says, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so shall be the blessing. So shall you be a blessing. Here's what he's telling him. He said, hey, if you just do what I'm telling you, do what I'm telling you. See, if I go to somewhere and say, who wants to be blessed? Everybody goes, hey. If you want to be blessed, say, hey, hey. If you want to be blessed, say, huh, hey, huh, hey, blessings, hey, huh, blessing, hey. Okay, here's what you got to do to be blessed. Leave everything that makes you comfortable. Here's what you got to do to be blessed. Leave everything you depend on. All of a sudden, you go from hey to hmm. And all of a sudden you get that other hip hop. Hold up, wait a minute. Next. We've been called from darkness. Now, this is what I said. I said, hey, we got folks, they want to identify what they've been called from, and they don't recognize that they're identifying with darkness. Guess what? You don't have to be in darkness to identify with darkness. Not the darkness we're talking about here. See, we've got way too many people that say they're on the Lord's side. I guarantee you. All you got to do is ask them, who's on the Lord's side? Me. They sound like the Mormon tabernacle. One, two, three. Me. Who's on the Lord's side? Me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. Who's on the Lord's side? Me. Who will do whatever God says? Me, well, God said, leave everything. Oh. He called us from darkness. What does it really mean to be called from darkness? What does it mean? It means that you should disassociate yourself with all the works of darkness. I know you ain't used to going to church hearing this kind of talk. I came to church to hear an inspiring word. He want to talk about sin. What kind of preacher is this? Let's look at the scripture. Watch this. Watch this. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race. So when somebody say, what race are you? Chosen. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own. What's that word? I'm branded. So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of, into his. Now. If I've been called to light, Paul in Romans 6, 2, Paul said, how can we being dead to sin live therein any longer? If I've been called to light, then everywhere I go is light. If there was darkness before I got there, guess what? When I get there, y'all think we talking about these little bitty lights here. No. We see, he's the light that, You ever seen a light so bright it's almost like you can feel it? That's the kind of light Jesus is. He's that light that Jesse the Plantis talked about. The Lord gave him a vision. The Lord gave him a vision of heaven, and he said, "I was on the floor." He said, "I was scared to lift my head." He said, "But the light that radiated from the throne was so penetrating, so bright." He said, "I could feel it, and I trembled with fear." That's the kind of light he is. So you've been called out of, and the best word Peter had was marvelous light. That was the best way Peter could describe it. It's marvelous light. Let's look, because I'm going to show you what it means to be called out of darkness. Next scripture. Ephesians 5, 7, 8. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Hold up. So who's the them? The them are the people who are working all manners of evil. That's what it says in the previous verses, okay? Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Next. For you are what? You were what? You were what? So if I'm formerly something, that means I'm not that anymore. So I'm not in a 12-step recovery plan. I'm not recovering from darkness. I'm not overcoming darkness. I've already defeated darkness through the blood of the Lamb. Somebody say amen. But for you were formerly darkness, but now you are what? Light in the Lord. Watch this. Walk as children of light. What does it mean to walk as children of light? It means that wherever I go, I shine God's light on that circumstance. See, this is why I keep telling y'all. This is why I keep telling y'all. You, Sam, I'm so glad you're here because I need some top level prayer support right now. Because I got some bricks in my pockets. I'm going to throw a few bricks, okay? This is why I keep telling y'all that you can't be sure enough saved and in love with Jesus and I'm on the Lord's side and all this nice stuff we like to say that make us look good in the eyes of people. You cannot be that and vote for darkness. You cannot do that and vote for evil. Well, everybody we vote for, they all sinners. That's true. That's true. We always picking the lesser of two evils. That might be true too. That might be true too. But guess what? Guess what? There's some stuff that you go, ain't no way God is anywhere near that. I don't even have to be all that spiritual to know that God ain't with some of this stuff. I'm gonna clarify myself. This is gonna get me in trouble. God created male and female. Somebody else created the other 100. Well, no, let me say that again. Let me say it. God created male and female. Somebody else invented. It's an invention of a delusional mind. Are you hearing me? And so if I'm called to be light, then everything I do is light. I think the problem is we don't know what light is. I think that's the problem. I think we just don't know what light is. I think we don't understand the light that Paul was talking about when he wrote to the Ephesians, walk as children. Walk in the light, the beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around me by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. See, we used to sing songs about walking in the light. You know, they don't want to sing those kind of songs now because they know that we're talking about walking in righteousness. Let's go. We've been called. Called. I told you we called from that, right? He called me from that. He called me from that. What's the that? Darkness. He called me to this. Okay. We've been called to be light. Now I'm telling you the problem is we don't comprehend the light. We don't comprehend the light. Meaning we know that that's light. We just don't understand that is light. You ever heard somebody say that something moves at the speed of light? You ever heard that? Something moves at the speed of light? See, what they don't know is when they say something moves at the speed of light, what they're actually saying is, I believe the creation story. Because God said, let there be, and there, just that fast. Light. Speed of light. So what are we talking about when he says walk in the light, be children of the light? What are we talking about? Let's look at some more scripture. Here we go. Okay, Holy Ghost. Ephesians 5, 9 through 13. For the fruit of the light consists in all what? Goodness and goodness, righteousness, and truth is light. Goodness, righteousness, and truth is light. This is how I know that you don't get to have your own truth. Barb, the Bible says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. You know what that way is? Well, you can have your own, that's your truth. Seems right to a man. It sounds so profound, doesn't it? It sounds so wise when people are foolish, don't they? You, 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 That's your truth. Mama told me this morning, the doctor, can I tell this? She went to the doctor to get a check. The doctor said, well, have you had the vaccine, the coronavirus vaccine? She said, no, and I don't want to get it. He said, well, why not? She said, because God takes care of me. As he's leaving the room, he said, well, let's see how that works out for you. I said, see, y'all better than me, because I talk crazy to doctors. Well, doctors get so mad at me. Doctors get so mad at me because I talk crazy to them. I tell them, I guarantee you God's healed more people than you have. I guarantee you you've killed more people than God has. Let me get back here. So he said, the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's life. Light is goodness, righteousness, and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Next. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. There is no clearer way to say that once you've been called out of darkness, there is a zero participation clause in your contract. This is how I know that you can't vote for this stuff. This is how I know you can't endorse this stuff. Well, you know, my mama was a Democrat and my daddy was a Democrat and my granddaddy was a Democrat. So what? My mama was a Republican and my great-grandmama was a Republican. My great-grandmama helped start the Republican Party in our city. So you have a call to not do not. It can't. Listen. It doesn't say try not to participate. Try your best not to participate in the unfruitful deeds associated with darkness. Do not. See, I keep telling y'all, you want to know why people have a problem with this? Because today we're teaching the church that it's okay to live sin adjacent. I don't want to really live in sin. I just want to be able to put my toe over the line just a little bit. I just want to be able to put my toe over the line a little bit. I tell you what, I'm going to go to the club. I'm just not going to drink. Okay. I might have a drink, but I'm not going to go home with nobody. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. But instead, watch this. Here's the second part of the command. But instead, expose them. This is why folks don't want to be the light. See, people, why you got to talk about that stuff? I'm called to expose the works of darkness. I'm called. The word that's translated "expose" in this translation, it means to reprove or to confront. He says, but instead, expose them. Next. But it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. Talking about the works of darkness. Next. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. Travis Green sings a song. He says, I can see the light. I can see the light coming. Listen to me. When you walk in, guess who just walked in? And if people are involved in darkness and they don't get convicted when you walked in, you might need to check the batteries on your light. Your light might not be fully charged. I'm just telling you. Because, see, you have a responsibility. Now, the Bible does tell us, it says, speak the truth in love. See what the church has done, the church has gotten loving, but they've also gotten stupid. Because the church thinks that being loving means we're supposed to put up with stuff that we ain't supposed to put up with. The church thinks that being loving means we're supposed to be pushovers and cowards. We're supposed to capitulate on everything. I'm just telling you what some of these preachers are teaching. Okay? If preachers in 1869 taught Romans 13 the way preachers teach it today, slavery would still be legal. I'm telling you. So light comes to expose, to confront darkness. And so he said, you're the light. Walk as children of the light. Confront darkness. Don't be scared. Ain't nobody who's been called out got any business being scared of darkness. I'm not scared of darkness. He preaches that way because he's homophobic. Well, I don't have any phobias. I don't have. I'm not scared of anything. I haven't been scared of anything since I was like 4 or 5 years old. That's the last time I can remember being scared of something. So no. I don't have any phobias. My daughter said, phobia is an irrational fear. I definitely don't have none of that kind of fear. Ain't none of my fear irrational. Next. 1 Peter 1, 15, 16, watch this. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Next. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So now we really get into the meat of the message. Because now we understand that this call to light is a call to holiness. Now, if you don't think preachers don't want to talk about darkness and sin, they definitely want to talk about holiness. We have accepted a false narrative that we can't be holy. But why would God tell us, be holy as I am holy, if it was impossible for us to be holy? Why would God tell us to do something that was totally out of our capacity to do? What I am telling you is that in Christ, Paul said, I can do all. What's the Greek word for all? What's the Hebrew word for all? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Guess what it means for him to strengthen me? It means he empowers me, or he infuses me with the ability to accomplish it. And so one of the things he gives me the ability to accomplish is holiness. Holiness. We don't even want to talk about it. Well, you know, I don't want to be one of them old holy rollers because they don't have no fun. I have a lot of fun. I think what you need to do is change your definition of fun. You want to be with 50 up in the club talking about you having fun and you dancing your way to hell. Holiness. Holiness. You told me you want to be a preacher? Be a holiness preacher. Preach righteousness. Preach it until people get mad at you. Preach it until they say they don't like you. Preach it until they don't want to hear you no more. Next. This is my last point. Yes. Carol, don't pay no attention to what I'm saying. Now y'all know what happens at my house. We're called to do the work of him who sent us. So now, we said you're called out of darkness. You're called to light. Now that you've come to the light, guess what? You're called to do some work.
What? I got saved to get a job? I can't believe it.
Well, you saw that all these guys Jesus called, guess what they all had in common? They had a job. And so, what you think, he called you to retirement? He called you to do some stuff. He called you to do some stuff. He called you to make a difference. You have to do something to make a difference. Are you hearing me? Let's look at the scripture. Come on. Mark, oh, I love this. Mark 16, 15 through 18. Watch this. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. This is your job description. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be. So condemnation only comes to who? Those who don't believe. Next. You skipped 17. These signs will accompany those who have believed. These signs will accompany most of them who have believed. These signs will accompany some of them. These signs may accompany. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will tell demons to go. They might. On Sunday, they will speak with new tongues. This is why I keep telling y'all, everybody who's accepted Jesus has the ability to speak in tongues, whether you ever do it or not. Because this is, give you a theological observation. This is Jesus speaking. The red letters are Jesus. So if you want to argue with this, well, everybody don't speak in tongues. That ain't what Jesus said. That's not what Jesus said. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Next. Here's the one that keeps people from wanting to be Pentecostal right here. This is the one that gets people, I don't want to be one of them old crazy Pentecostal. Somebody came to the church that we were working in West Georgia, and they asked the pastor, they said, it says on your website you're a spirit-filled church. He says, yes. He says, well, what does that mean? He said, you want to sit up close to the front because we let the snakes out in the back first. It says, they will pick up serpents. Now, what is Jesus saying when he says they will pick up serpents? What is he saying? Is he saying literal serpent? That could be one translation. We know that was it Peter who was warming himself by the fire? Paul warming himself by the fire and the snake bit him, clamped on, and Paul just shook it off. He shook it off. So we do know that it's talking about literal serpents, but it's also talking about deadly things that can hurt you. You'll be able to just walk through it. We've had 500,000 people die from coronavirus. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. Here's the part I like. They will lay hands on the sick, and they might. Some of them. Jesus talking. This is the job description. This is the work that you're called to. So when he's talking about being light, he's talking about walking into dark situations and going, ta-da. My granddaughter, when she was about 3 years old, she gave her a little, no, she was younger than that. She's probably a year old. They gave her a piano, a little bitty piano. and she couldn't play nothing. But this is what she would do. She would get to that piano. Bang, 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 bang. She was expecting a standing ovation. Next. 1 Peter 2, 21 through 24. You have been called for this purpose. Still talking about your job. You have been called for this purpose. Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. So we're called for the purpose of what? Following in his steps. So we got to be willing to what? Boy, this guy talk about everything they ain't supposed to talk about in church no more. Next. Who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Next. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Stay right there. Because this is the verse that's saying, shut up. That's the Everett Spencer translation. Shut up all your complaining. Stop acting like you're the only one going through that. Stop acting like you're the only one who ever been through that. So if you're going to take this job is lay hands on the sick. He said, cast out devils, speak in new tongues, and shut up. And trust the one who judges righteously.
I don't understand why God has me going through all of this right now. I thought I was past this in my Christian walk.
You ever notice the more you complain about something, the longer it lasts? It's like God just goes, okay, well, you're throwing a pity party. I'm going to let you enjoy that by yourself. Next. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you were healed. That we might die to sin. We might die to sin. I told you, Romans 6:2, how can we, being dead to sin, live therein any longer? That we might die to sin and live in the light. Righteousness. Remember I told you, righteousness is the light, right? Where am I at? Acts 26:18. Paul here is describing to King Agrippa his call. Paul is describing his call. We're talking about being called. Paul is describing his call. This is what he says. He says in verse 18, here's what I'm called to do, to open their eyes so that they might turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Called to get them delivered, to help them open their eyes so that they can turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God. This is the call. This is the call that everybody who has accepted Jesus, this is the job. Cast out devils, speak in new tongues, lay hands on the sick and recover, shut up, crying and complaining, trust the Lord, and then help people get their eyes open so they can come out of that dark place and come to the place of light. Pretty good contract. Pretty good contract. And when you do it, he said, and everybody's going to call you blessed. Everybody's going to call you blessed. I'm going to tell y'all something. The more you learn to trust God, the less stress you'll have in your life. I was listening to Dr. Fred Price, one of his old messages, and Dr. Price said, I don't have bad days. He said, I haven't had a bad day in over 18 years. He said, I retired from bad days 18 years ago. He said, all of my days are good. Y'all don't hear me? See, everybody in here can retire from bad days if you just learn to trust the one who judges rightly. So my wife will tell you, when I used to come home from work, been working in the penitentiary all day, She would say, "How was your day?" Here's what I would say. I would either say it was a good day, or I would say it was a day. I never had bad days. I would just say it was a day. See, because I've learned. I've got the blessing, the favor of God. Oh my. I hope I said something to help you. Give God a praise for his word. Father, we certainly thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. We know, Lord, that your word comes to reprove us. Your word comes to shape us. It comes to mold us. It comes to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you for the cleansing power of your word. We recognize, Lord, that you've called us. You've called us from that to this. You've called us from darkness to light. You've called us to be healing to a lost and dying world. You've called us to speak out against the works of darkness. I pray, God, that every person here learn to be bold as a lion, to speak truth even when people don't want to hear it. I thank you for the delivering power that's working in every individual believer. Help them to understand, God, that you've called them to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. You've called them to cast out devils. You've called them to speak with new tongues. This is not a job description for those in pulpit ministry. It's a job description for the believer. So, God, I pray that we would all fulfill our call. We would all answer the call and fulfill the call. Give us the grace to walk as children of light. In the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen.